Tonight, we do a full hour of Game of Thrones chat with the AV Club's John Tatey. Then later, we once again talk about Chicago sports and Chicago dating with Mark
Can Carmen. I interrupt the introduction and ask, what was that first part?
I think it was a full hour of Game of Thrones trivia.
Yeah. I'm sorry, can we, I think I have to go back. I have to interrupt the introduction.
Okay.
A full hour?
I know.
John Tatey is here, you think
I know we didn't
do a full
confirm
hour?
Before the show, Patty, but I'm assuming with John in and how great the show is that you'd want to talk about it for the whole first hour.
Rob Martier, Game of Thrones?
If it's a full hour, I refuse to do my 11:30 and midnight updates. I'm leaving now.
Out of respect for the Game of Thrones greatness. I understand that,
Esmeralda, Game of Thrones?
I even watch it. I don't want to talk about it for an hour.
Okay.
John
well, that's interesting. John could do it. I know he wants to.
Oh, my Editor God. I've already
Chief
done it this
the
week.
Yes.
I'm ready to do it again.
He has,
every week.
His Facebook Live video. They do.
Sounds great.
While we're doing the show, you go ahead and pull up avclub.com.
Okay.
And watch that.
I'll do that.
I can't do
that. And if
hour
you want to switch to like a half hour of it, I'm sure we're fine.
We'll see
that
if we get to it. Rob, I went up to go say hi to you, and you tell me one of the worst news stories.
I'm sorry.
I was asking, it's a tragic story, and then I was asking John Tatey, editor-in-chief of the AV Club, if we should talk about that. I don't even know what to talk about anymore. I've had so much anger and sadness, and are other people feeling just depressed and just want to... I don't know, John.
Yes,
okay.
Everybody is feeling depressed.
It's depressing. And
I think the best response I've seen to it so far is Samantha Bee's show last night. Did you see this?
I did watch it. I watched it with my son, who he watches John Oliver now, so he's now accustomed to the cussing, which I didn't realize it was a lot of cussing on Samantha Bee's show, which is fine. Seemed appropriate. She's very angry.
She uses the S word, I know, but I don't think she can get away with the F bombs on
they may
TBS.
They may have bleeped
I think they bleep out the F bombs.
On YouTube, it's not bleeped.
Oh, I see. You watch it on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought that she acknowledged that there's a routine, and she said, enough with this routine.
Yeah.
I need to express myself. And I thought that she channeled her anger very, very well and made a statement.
Well, because the fear has been the suspicion or the rallying call for the last decade has been every time there's a shooting, people who believe very strongly in the Second Amendment say they're going to take all of our guns, which has not happened, not once, not ever, not at all.
Yeah.
Have we taken? And Samantha said, yes, I want your guns. Give me your guns. Give me your AR-15s. That's it. You're done.
Right.
Off limits.
She said she wants the assault rifles.
The assault rifle. Right.
She didn't say we want to take away all your guns. Nobody's saying that, but she said she wanted to take away the AR-15s. You're like the American gun. I didn't know it was called that until Sam B informed me of that.
The American gun. People with decals and everything.
Oh, man.
There's a woman who was the military police in the Army. She served several tours and said that she... does not think that she's seen a lot of people who are in uniform saying, this is what I fought for you to be able to carry arms. She's like, I think that you should not have a weapon I used as a military tool.
Look,
so there's a lot of arguments.
What I also liked about Sam B is that she didn't just sort of rail on the gun issue, which is something, that needs to be discussed with passion, with proper passion, mm-hmm. let me say. But she also talked about mental illness. And she said, this always comes up as kind of a, in so many words, she said, this always comes up as kind of a throwaway line. Oh, this mental illness problem. Let's do something about it. But she actually dug into the issue and showed how they've made progress on it in Florida, as it happens, coincidentally, and how that the progress in Florida, hard-won progress in Florida to get proper funding,
right,
proper infrastructure for mental health treatment could be a model for the rest of the nation. And look, I don't know any more about those policy details than what I learned on Sam B the other night, but what I like is that she's putting some ideas out there. And that's, I think, what I at least have a craving for in the wake of yet another tragedy like this. The feeling that it has become routine is so soul-deadening. I'm really desperate for ideas of
ideas
how to solve it. And she
right
presented some ideas. And I think that America works best when we are trading in these ideas and not sort of just going to the sort of thoughts and prayers thing. I think that's become a cliche and people are pushing back against that. And
was there somebody in Congress who said who protested during the moment of silence, said, I'm not going to stay quiet anymore?
Walked out and made noise. And then there was more than one who walked out. There was one congressman, I can't remember what his name was, but who did. Yeah. He interrupted the moment of silence to say, this is ridiculous. It's it's meaningless.
Right.
We need to actually do something.
Right. Anybody, we can pray anytime. This is not, I mean, Rob Martier, when you have the news coming in, you know, I mean, it's such a bizarre thing to, does it feel routine?
Well, what concerns me from a news point of view, and it's always concerned me, is and are the knee-jerk reactions that we get that we have to try to filter through with the information and sometimes, a lot of times, misinformation.
Right. Mm.
And it's tragic, but that's the lightning speed at which news moves these days. We're all aware of that, but you know it's important when something like this, when something so tragic, with something so, with you know such great you know with a lot of gravity to it, you've got to really take in a deep breath and you've got to train yourself to be careful about about what you're reading and about what the information you're getting. And just thinking about it today myself, I was kind of putting on my amateur Freud hat and the information that has been trickling out today, if what has been reported is actually true. This kind of goes beyond any sort of political issue. This clearly seemed to be a guy that had some problems, and it also maybe stemmed from his upbringing.
Yeah,
in terms
right.
of yeah. if in fact he was gay or had those tendencies and wasn't sure how to deal with them, certainly, at least from what I've seen to this point, he wasn't in a very healthy environment.
You know what's interesting about that, too, is he was on the no-fly list. He had been investigated and interviewed by the FBI a couple times, and yet he can still legally get his hands on an assault rifle. That seems confusing to me. And I know there's a viral story right now out there from Philadelphia where a reporter got an assault rifle, an AR-15, in 7 minutes. Mm-hmm. She went into a store and within 7 minutes had a very deadly weapon.
An assault rifle.
Can I jump back to just to a point that Rob was making? Rob, the battle for the narrative, to shape the narrative, starts almost immediately after something like this, doesn't it? Is that what you're talking about in terms of having to filter out the immediate reactions?
Well, it's very difficult, and it starts with, you know... Right off the bat, a tweet from Donald Trump, and then you immediately get into the gun debate, and then you know, and then on and on it goes. So you have to try to wade through that, at least from what I'm doing up here, and you have to try to get to the facts. But unfortunately, we can't ignore that other stuff either, because then it becomes part of the story, and there's the whole inertia of, well, other outlets are talking about it, so we don't really have much of a choice but to address it as well.
Right, because, I mean, as you mentioned, the narrative of it was this immediately was it a terrorist attack, where was there more than one shooter? He had called 911 and pledged allegiance to ISIS. And then so then, I mean, and the narrative became, well, here is somebody who was radicalized. I mean, that then the language started going that way. And
this is part of it that has alarmed me for a while, is the urge to decide as quickly as possible, are we going to apply the label terrorism to this? And that almost becomes the top news point. Like, are it's being treated as terrorism? Are we calling it terrorism? I mean, the reason it alarms me is because I feel it creates some distance from the actual event. 49 people died. Those people had identities. They had a humanity that we should maybe take a few moments to try to learn about that and to understand what has happened here. But it becomes about the labels almost instantly.
Yes. In this case, there was so much happening so quickly in response to it in such a dark, horrible, and ugly way, with people posting pictures, you reap what you sow. That
that was
Lieutenant Governor of Texas. That wasn't just like some nutball in his basement in his computer or in his trailer park or wherever, somebody who's angry about gay marriage. It was Lieutenant Governor of Texas.
Well, the Lieutenant Governor's office did say that was a scheduled tweet, which I'm not, you know, they should have been on top of that, but they said that that was not in reaction.
It was not. That's what they're saying now.
Yeah.
But
they said that pretty quickly after it became news.
There were a lot of people posting, you know, at least the terrorists got it right this time. They went to a gay club. There were a lot of tweets out there. I mean, and of course, those are such the few and far between, and the rare ones, and the ones that are going to, of course, come to the surface.
Come to the surface, exactly.
Yeah.
There was, and I don't know if you guys heard it because I ran the story about an hour ago. There was a positive step, at least locally tonight, and I was very, very happy to see it. There was a mosque in Glen Ellyn that opened its doors to an interfaith service, and they invited anyone who wanted to come in and join them to pray for the victims of Orlando to do so. And in fact, they even invited a gay man who got up and said, not only am I a gay man, I happen to be Christian as well, and thank you for inviting me. So it's that type of outreach that I think needs to happen with greater frequency And I think that'll kind of begin, you know, we'll get on that road towards healing and whatnot.
I like that. I would have gone.
Me too, yeah. Thanks for sharing
you
that story.
You want a quick text?
Yes, please.
From Aaron, a military AR-15 is completely different than the gun you can buy in a store. There are many other types of supposed assault rifles out there. What about an AK-47? Maybe the government should do better background checks, yes, but guns don't kill people. People kill people. Remember, anything can be used as a weapon.
At this, the velocity and the rapidity and the volume with which you're able to do it with one of these assault rifles, I think is what people are responding to in this situation and at Sandy Hook and in Aurora. I mean, repeatedly, it's the same weapon.
Yeah. You know, can I just say, on either side, the sloganeering on either side of you know, however you're coming at this gun control issue, you know, after this tragedy has happened, I just hate how people pull out their slogans. And I, you know, guns don't kill people. People kill people is one on the right. And there's plenty on the left as well. I'm not taking sides on this particular point, but I just think that the slogans don't really have a place in this conversation for me right now. At least it just makes my blood curdle a little bit.
How about all for one and one for all? More after this.
Okay, I'll get on board with that.
You are listening Pretty Little Guy. I am your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. I'm joined by the editor-in-chief of the AV Club, John Tatey. And Craig, are you sure you don't want to read more of those texts for us? You know, while you were gone, by the way, John, Craig has been traveling. He was in New York for several days, driving to a wedding. And while he was gone, one of the producers, I kept asking Sean Davis if we had any texts. And he was like, here, just read them yourself, not knowing that I am actually not supposed to. I mean, I could read the text screen, but I have a tendency to go, oh, you want a piece of this? And then I call people. And so we don't open the screen for me.
Yeah, Craig emailed me today and told me he was back from his travels and asked me if I could be on the show. And I emailed back, short, see you tonight. And then he emailed me back only the word small. And I still don't know what that meant.
I was in a dentist chair when I sent you an email.
Small?
I think what I meant was sweet.
Small.
Oh,
it autocorrected sweet to small.
Yeah. I don't think I meant to write small.
I just sat there
ordering
and
a pizza with you.
I thought maybe
small.
He hit send too early. You know, that happens sometimes. But then I wanted to ask, but I thought it was kind of beautiful in a way.
Small.
Just small. It made me think about the concept
small.
Of small.
So you see that I did that. That is awesome.
I kind of love that.
Do you see it now, Greg? You
I do.
Didn't know
I see
you
small.
Would do that.
Small is just a word that I sent. Yeah, I didn't. I had no idea. I put the phone down immediately after saying I thought I wrote sweet or cool or some yes, thank you.
That's
hey,
quite
speaking
lovely.
Of online interactions, I want to ask you about comedian psychology. Can I do this with you?
Oh boy, Esmeralda, do you think this is a good idea? Do you think John Tatey wants to trip this wire with me?
We're gonna
so.
Be here a while.
I know. Think so. Or,
should I put my feet up?
We. Ran a review of, I'm going to try not to use names here. I'm going to see if I can make it through the story without using the comedian's name.
Okay.
Although I think it will be obvious. We recently ran a review of the third season of a popular comedian's show who appears on Comedy Central.
Okay.
And the reviewer mentioned that fame and the problems of fame were a recurring theme on this show. And the comedian then tweeted at us at the AV
Club. Why is she obsessed with, she's got to let stuff go.
Okay,
I mean, like,
this is what I, but let me finish
but
the story.
The thing, just, I mean, like, she's now just become a comedian who responds to comments on her Instagram photos.
Okay, and this was, let me just say also, this was a glowing review. The grade at the top was A-. This was a glowing review of the new season, and not many glowing reviews in the new season of this season of this show
been written. So we're still enamored.
So this reviewer, not me personally, but our critic was still enamored of the show. Yet, she writes, can you give me some other examples of when fame was a theme on the show? And we kind of conferred at the office and said, hey, it's an honest question. Let's give her an honest answer. The writer replied very politely, three tweets, said, here are some of the other instances, gave links to other reviews that she had written. And this comedian then writes back, it's interesting to see what you projected on those scenes. I don't need a follow-up. Take care. So she's being totally passive aggressive to this writer who gave her a very nice review. And I'm just thinking, this person is like, everybody in the office is saying, like, why, you know, why is she going after the critic? And I said, she's losing her marbles. There's no other explanation for it.
I am. Are we being too vague? Do you know who we're talking about, Esmeralda?
Twitter's at the AV Club. accent?
No, the comedian that they were reviewing.
Oh, right. I was just going to look it up.
Yeah. No, she responds. Amy Schumer responds to just about everything that's said about her ever.
Does she?
Oh, did you see when? Okay. Yeah. She just and I would like her to just be classier, you know, be the, if you're going to be the sort of gold standard now for female comedy, be that, right?
Yeah.
It just go on well and do put. Your work, well work, let it stand on its own. Don't worry about what reviewers say about you. Be the gold standard.
I don't think she's going to be, though.
No. But she, but people hold her up like she is.
People have been holding her up like she is. And I think that's, you know, maybe, again, I don't want to put her on the couch here, but I just was like, this is crazy. Like,
you're talking about Amy Schumer?
Yes. I have theories about this. But
this is someone who, like,
she was created.
This is a critic who is championing your work and telling people, hey, you should take a look at this. And she's nitpicking.
Yeah.
It was crazy to me.
I'm making faces. I'm not a fan.
Real quick, we have another text on the other topic we were discussing from the 630. Guns in the hands of civilians are why you radio folk are allowed to speak your mind freely. You sadly don't seem to understand this reality.
I guess I don't.
I don't even have to say that. I'm not telling you not to have a gun anymore. I'm telling you not to have an AR-15. What? How am I being confusing? Hey, Rich, how's it going?
Pretty good. How you doing today, Patty?
Thank you.
Yeah, I've talked to you before. I've spent 25 years in the military, so I know what an M16 will do to a person. You know, and they're chambered for a 223, a bigger round. And a lot of these AR-style weapons you can buy in, like, your, like Walmarts and stores like that, are chambered for a 22 long. Not every one of them, but the ones I've seen are all chambered for the 22. Like you can buy it for a little squirrel gun to teach your kids how to, right, you know, use gun safety.
Okay.
But, you know, you can do just as much damage with a shotgun. You know, you're only supposed to have 3 rounds in a shotgun, but you can take the plugs out, put 5.
So anything can be altered in order to accomplish the sort of damage that if someone is intent on doing that.
Right. I mean, unless the guy modified the AR that he used down in Orlando, he has to pull the trigger for every round that's fired.
Right.
And the same thing with a shotgun. And with a shotgun, you get a bigger blast area. So, I mean,
So my question is, are you contending that it doesn't matter if we ban AR-15s, since they'll just find another way to do it? It doesn't matter. So we shouldn't bother.
Well, no, we should bother, but we should have better, you know, I don't know how to say it. We need to have better gun checks. You know what I mean?
I agree.
You know, I mean, yeah, if you want to go out and buy your son or daughter, depending upon what part of the country you're in, a 22 to teach gun safety, you know, that's perfectly legal, you know, and you shouldn't have to go through a super deep check. But if it becomes like, quote, the assault rifle, you know, then, yeah, go a whole lot deeper. But you can also buy kits that make these little 22s look like full-blown M16s or... You know,
Rich, I have to go to a break. I have more questions for you, though. Do you mind? Can you call back after the news? Would you mind?
Hey,
sorry. Yeah, go ahead, Rob. Rob
no,
has a question.
Patty, I was just going to say, Craig just read a text, and I thought it was pretty interesting because, again, we start to paint everybody with the same brush. I just want to say I am a radio type. I have been my entire life. I also happen to be a proponent of the Second Amendment. But, and here's the thing. Just now, out of WSIL News is reporting that Senator Chuck Grassley opposes a ban on terrorism suspects buying guns. Now, here's where the argument breaks down for me, and it drives me crazy. If you cannot legislate people who, like Craig mentioned earlier, are on a watch list, are under FBI investigation, are on some sort of terrorist suspect list, if you cannot legislate that, if you can't even do that, we've got problems. I mean, we've got a lot of problems.
Right. See?
So just so you know, some of us in radio do support the Second Amendment, but there are some common sense things out there that we can start doing to protect ourselves.
That's what I'm saying. And I'm asking questions. That's why I was asking our caller about, do we do nothing? So then that's part of the conversation. We are going to continue this after the news, 312-981-7200. But first we have a break.
Thank you.
You're listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio, having a civil and a hopefully friendly conversation. Can you be friendly and civil? Is friendly implied with civil, or civil is exclusive of friendly?
I don't think it hurts to say both.
Both? Okay. Friendly and civil conversation about gun ownership in the United States, the Second Amendment. Mike, you were on hold, and I know we have another caller who's going to call back. Rich was on hold for a little bit, so Mike, we'll take your call first. Yep. Hey, Mike, what's up?
Not much, Patty. How are you?
Very well. What did you want to tell us about about owning a weapon?
I just wanted to comment that I think we're reaching a point technology-wise where it's going to be impossible to keep these kind of weapons out of people's hands because of things like 3D printers are becoming so affordable, and you can already download the plans for an AR-15 receiver that you can be made out of plastic that they say will fire an average of 11 rounds before it jams. And it's just we're in the near future, people are going to be able to make assault rifle fairly easily in their basement.
Yeah, no, you make a great point. I appreciate the call, Mike. That's an interesting thing to think about and also scary. Yeah. Thank you so much.
I also wanted to comment on one of the bad effects of like this kind of situation is when people talk about banning them, I think it causes people to rush out and buy them.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, they did. A huge increase yesterday of the sale of these weapons.
I'm sure.
Yep.
Yeah, that's an unfortunate side effect, but thanks, Patty.
Thank you, Rich.
Patty, I'm sorry. Can I just jump in here with a quick weather update?
Of course.
Yeah, National Weather Service right now, guys, saying that a severe thunderstorm warning is in effect for Rockford. That includes the Rockford Airport, Winnebago, Davis Junction, and then on up into Roscoe and South Beloit as well. So be on the lookout if you're in those areas.
Well, I didn't know we were getting storms tonight.
Yeah, we're getting some storms tonight. Huh. It's some swiftly changing weather. Hey, Rich, thank you so much for calling back. One of the things you had mentioned that you had been in the military and that if somebody wants to do harm, it doesn't matter if you ban an assault rifle, they can take another type of weapon and sort of alter it to be as dangerous and deadly, correct?
Yes, ma'am.
So do you have any thoughts? I mean, is there anything? Is there, you know, is there bullet insurance? Is there gun ownership insurance? Is there, I mean, I know you said that we need to do better background checks. Are there any other thoughts on those things?
You know, it to me, it's just all basic background checks. I mean, how many people own guns, you know, nationwide, really, that have never done anything except target shooting or hunting, you know? I think, you know, it to me, a lot of it falls back on the background checks for people's mental health. I mean,
well, and what did you think?
The government's taking that away, and, you know, people aren't getting the help they need.
Right.
You know?
I mean, although I don't know that this gentleman, I mean, and then in that sense, is it people who seek out mental health assistance? Is it people who are, you know, if a woman calls and says she's been abused by her husband, or if a man is abused by his wife, or whatever sort of situation where someone has become volatile, is it people who willingly seek out mental health assistance? I mean, because you can't just go and sort of have some. It's usually based on previous behaviors, and sometimes we don't know until it's this. Right. In this situation, we did. There were obviously many alarm bells going off. The FBI had investigated him. He had coworkers one guy who had to leave the job because this guy was so frightening.
Isn't that the haunting thing about it, though, Patty, that the FBI did investigate him, and that it speaks to the limits of our capability to understand people's motivations and their life direction.
And they have trained psychologists with the FBI, or they have, I mean, did they, how was he, you know,
well, they
interviewed?
Have trained investigators at the very least, right?
Yeah. Thank you so much, Rich. Appreciate it.
Yep. Hey, one more thing that would open up a whole can of worms.
Yes.
Is how many of these shootings take place in concealed carry states?
Well, that's a concealed carry state, isn't it? Florida has to be a big gun owning state.
Right. But I mean, you know, I mean, would a person stop and think if I go in here, how many people are going to? Well, I guess that really doesn't make any sense either, does it? Because if you're going to do that, you've got a suicide.
Right.
Thoughts, you know, I mean, but like you said, the guy was investigated for possible spouse abuse,
mm-hmm.
well, that ought to be a red flag. He shouldn't be able to buy a weapon.
But you have to be convicted.
I mean,
he was never convicted. So that's one of the things that has come up, is because it's the Second Amendment. It is your right as a citizen. Mm-hmm. He is an American citizen. You can't. I mean, that's part of what the fight is, right? Is it that's part of the NRA sort of shoring that up, making sure that you can't just arbitrarily take someone's Second Amendment right away from them. So that's
right.
As to Rob Martier's point, the congressman or whoever the legislator is that was voting against it, that's why.
Grassley, yeah.
Grassley is voting against it because then the idea is then you're chipping away at that Second Amendment right.
You know what's interesting, and I think somebody made this point on Elliot Serrano's Facebook page because he had a couple debates about this going on Facebook. We regulate things like the type of license you need to drive a certain type of car, a bulldozer, whatever it is. You have to do more testing, get a more stringent kind of license to be an operator of a a more dangerous vehicle or just a more technical
like
vehicle. It's interesting that we don't do that with guns, that there is no like higher level of gradation for getting an assault rifle. There really should be a more developed kind of system.
Because, Craig, it is simply a right.
There's no amendment. Well, it's true. I mean, there's no amendment for driving a car, right?
No,
which is why there's so much less of a fight about that.
We have Rob has been on the hold for a bit. Hey, Rob, how are you doing?
How you doing, Patty? Well, and, you know, it's 3 days now since this happened, and I'm listening to all these new shows, and I feel that the focus is going away from the bad guy mm-hmm. at this point and onto the gun thing. And, you know, I grew up, my dad was a cop. And we were around guns from when I was a little kid, and I had guns, and, you know, when my wife and I started dating, she was not a gun person, so I got rid of them. And to the point now where my wife has taken concealed carry classes at this point,
because of all the violence that's erupting.
Because she's afraid that, you know, we can't protect ourselves,
mm-hmm.
and you know, and unfortunately, I lost my eyesight, so I'm not the one that can do that anymore. But you know, the fact that she's willing at this point, and doing it the right way,
right.
You know, going to the classes and, you know, and that thing hit home for me because my son's gay and, you know, it's a very tough situation. And I think the FBI is who dropped the ball here. You know, there's plenty of ways I feel that they could have kept track of this guy without, you know, abusing his civil liberties. You know,
right.
There's all kinds of other ways they could have done that. And we already do background checks on gun owners. And you can tell that someone who has a mental problem, you know, if they don't go to the doctor and it's not reported,
right.
Then nobody knows.
Nobody knows.
So how do you know
exactly.
to flag them?
That was my question, right? How do we know unless someone seeks
I mean, unless the doctor that he does go to makes a report to somebody, nobody would ever know.
But then you have HIPAA laws. Right.
Right. And then, you know, if he's never convicted of a crime.
Yes. I mean, right now.
He doesn't. Yeah.
Right now, that is the criteria. I believe there is, you know, whether or not mentally stable it can be used. Felony convictions. You cannot have a gun and convicted of domestic violence right now, currently.
But they also could do something like when the guy was investigated, even if they said, well, you can't have a gun for 5 years.
No, it's constitutionally his right to have a gun as a citizen without the other
right.
three things.
But I'm saying you could have a graduated thing where if they prove that they're okay
right.
5 years from now, then let them have one. But,
fair
you
enough.
Know, that kind of thing.
Right.
So
all right.
that's all I wanted to say. And,
thank you, Rob. I appreciate it. And thank you so much. I appreciate your insight.
Well, thanks. You have a great show.
Thank
Bye.
You. But that's the law. The law is that you constitutionally have the right to own a weapon, and if you meet all the other criteria, which is that he was not convicted of a felony, he was not convicted of domestic violence, he was not, there were no flags as far as mental stability.
The law doesn't mention the specific type of weapon, though, right? Like, you're allowed to have a gun. It doesn't say you're allowed to have an assault rifle. So, you know.
There's no,
yeah.
These are all things that are legal weapons.
Right.
Let's say, I told John and Craig that we would do one segment of this and then do Game of Thrones. Dave, I don't want to leave you on hold. What did you want to share?
I want to bring up something that no one seems to dare bring up when we talk about these shootings.
Mm-hmm.
A good many of them that have taken place in the last 10 to 12 years were done by people who are on antidepressants and other psychotropic drugs, which you know, eventually cause people to go mad. It causes severe agitation. And, you know, a few weeks ago in Washington, D.C., that guy was on an antidepressant.
Yeah, I don't think this is something that is flagged or reported by doctors. I mean, can you imagine if doctors would put that into the system?
Is a problem because it's doctor-patient confidentiality.
Right,
but
right.
There's a guy, Dr. Peter Breggin, and he knows, you know, he's gone very public about this. A lot of these drugs are making people, when they're in their system for a while, they're no longer not depressed. They're just manic and they're nuts, and they can cause people to do crazy things.
Another interesting aspect of this. Thank you so much, Dave. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Thank you. Bye. We also have George on the line. George, what did you want to share with us?
Hi. You know, there seems to be two similarities with all of these mass shootings, and they seem to be they're mentally unstable, and the guns were acquired legally. Now, I know that this doesn't really help the people that acquire the guns off the street illegally and do the shootings. But, you know, when you buy a new home, you get your home inspected. Why, when you apply for a FOID card, why aren't you required to go to a doctor to get get mentally checked, a state accredited or a federally accredited hospital to get a mental check? And then when you get that piece of paper, then you can apply.
A mental wellness check.
Yes. You know, I don't understand that. You know, it's like, why isn't that a requirement by now? You know, when I got my FOID card, I literally spent about 3 minutes online. I filled out the paperwork and it was at my doorstep 2 weeks later. And then all I had to do was go to Cabela's, wait 3 days, and I could buy any pistol I wanted. That's insane to me.
Wow.
You know, I'm all gun ownership and the rights for the Second Amendment, but I wouldn't mind getting a wellness check prior to being able to buy a gun. I think that's going to do a lot of good.
Fair enough. I think that's an interesting point as well.
Interesting idea, George.
Yeah, I like that. Thank you so much for that comment.
Thank you very much.
I'm going to propose that to some of our legislators. All right, have a great night, George. More after this on 720 WGN. Not yet, Craig. We have one more call.
Okay, all right.
We are going to talk a little bit more about gun control, and then we will move on. I've promised John Tatey, the editor-in-chief of the AV Club. I give you an A++. And
aww.
I will not give you any examples. Ronnie, you wanted to join the conversation about gun control. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. You know, I've heard several people touch a little bit on, you know, people being able to purchase weapons through different channels other than legally, let's say. I think therein lies the problem. I wish that there was a number that we could see in front of us, you know, that would tell us exactly how many of these shootings occurred by registered gun owners, you know, or people that went through the legal process to obtain the weapon that they used. I'm not sure how you would ever clear the streets of all of the illegal weapons.
Oh, right, I agree.
You know, but
it's almost like cats out of the bag, horses out of the barn situation.
Yeah, I mean, that's where really, I believe, in my opinion, at least, I think that's where it stems. You know, background checks can only go so far. Obviously, they've, you know, as people have said, you've got doctor-patient confidentialities involved.
Right. Do we start having a database of people who are on different kinds of medication?
Real quick, to answer Ronnie's question, a vast majority of the guns used in the last 16 mass shootings were obtained legally, and actually 8 of those gunmen had criminal histories or documented mental health problems that did not prevent them from obtaining the weapons.
Wow, I'm surprised at that. I would never have guessed it to be that high.
Right. See, I mean, I think it's good to have these conversations to keep talking about it and offer ideas.
Ideas. Yeah.
I keep having ideas, right, Ronnie? Thank you so much for calling.
Couple of good ideas tonight from the listeners.
Absolutely. More after this on 720 WGN. All right, fine, Craig. Now you can do.
Oh my God, yes!
Release the Game of Thrones.
Okay. So yeah. Wait, before we get too much into it, I just want to say, and I'm going to try to prevent myself from being hyperbolic at all, that Game of Thrones is probably the best creation of humankind.
Well, I'm glad you
held
yourself back.
Yeah, I'm really happy that I didn't go further than that.
I like indoor plumbing
a
lot.
Before we get into Game of Thrones, I do want to mention I have a quiz. Do we still want to do a quiz?
Yeah, let's do a quiz. Oh, okay. Do you have more than one question, or just you have one trivia question?
I have well, it's going to be a quick quiz, but it's a five-question. Know your TV presidents.
Ooh.
Know your fictional TV presidents, since we're in a presidential election year. If you know your TV presidents.
Oh, I love this
call
one.
Call in now, and maybe you can win. What do they win, a pizza?
Yeah, they win a $25 gift card to Lou Malnati's. Locations in the Chicagoland area, over 40 of them, including a beautiful one right there in Lincoln Square, right by in your neighborhood.
Yep, yep.
And go to LouMalnati's.com for more information. 312-981-7200. Do we take two contestants who will buzz themselves in
just
with their
the
names?
Just the one this time.
One person.
It's going to, because it's going to be rapid fire. Yeah.
Okay, 312-981-7200. So they have to get all five right for the pizza?
Three out of five.
Three out of five. 312-981-7200. How's that? And if you have any left over, I'll give one of you, do the last whatever for a texter. See what I did there?
We'll I got it. I got it. Yep.
We'll figure it out.
Now Craig's screening calls. And then we can't talk about Game of Thrones. That was dumb of me.
There's no mistakes here.
That's right. It's live radio.
Best show and creation in human history.
See, there you
okay,
go.
Wait. We have Paul on the line first.
Paul? Paul has got. Paul, are you ready? Do you know your television presidents?
I think fairly well. Yeah.
All right. There's a Lou Malnati's gift card on the line for this. Go ahead.
Okay, Paul, I'm just going to name the fictional president. This is the character name, and I'll give you, if you need a hint, I'll give you one hint on one of these. You can ask for the actor name, but I'm going to name the character, the fictional president, and you tell me the show, okay?
And I have an annoying...
The show or the actor name?
The
Ooh.
Show. You tell me the show.
The show. And I have okay, an annoying great. Bell that will let you know if you are correct.
Okay, great. Thanks.
You're welcome.
All right, Paul, here we go. Paul, have you played before? I feel like we had a Paul who sounded like you a couple weeks ago.
Never, ever.
Okay, well, good. This
I
is your
swear
first
you.
Time. Well,
oh,
we're lucky to have
even
you.
Now. I like it.
Okay, first one. Josiah Bartlett.
The West Wing.
He's off to a good start.
Like
That's
it.
Right. Josiah Jed Bartlett, played by Martin Sheen in The West Wing.
I didn't even wait for your confirmation. I just wanted to
Well, you knew that one. That
I
was
know,
an easy
still,
one to get us started.
Okay.
Samuel A. Tresh.
Mm.
Samuel A. Trash. I'll take a hint, please.
Played by George C. Scott.
Ooh.
This is a tough one, though, Paul.
The television?
Television yeah. president?
Television president.
I didn't know he was on television.
George C. Scott, television president. I think I do know this. This is some show in the 80s.
Yes, that's right.
Is on NBC, I believe.
It was on Fox.
Fox. Oh, Madam President? No. No, not no. That's George C. Scott.
You're so close. Oh my God, Paul, you're so close.
It was on Fox. It was.
It's not Madam President because it's a guy.
Mr. President.
You got it. We pulled it out.
Wow, that was stressful.
That was great memory, Paul. That was a very hard one.
Wonderful.
I didn't expect anyone to get that one.
One more for the win.
One more for the win. Okay, Selina Meyer.
Selina Meyer. That is Veep.
Very good. Yes.
You have won a
Paul
Lou
really
Malnati's.
Does know his TV
he
president.
Does.
That
I was like, Selena. I was like, that sounds familiar. A Lou Malnati's gift card is coming your way. Lou Malnati's is home.
Well,
Chicago's.
Was very kind. You helped me out with the George C. Scott one.
You were going to get it anyway.
It was fun.
I think you know your TV, Paul.
Thank you, Paul. Carly, get your information, and you can find one of their 40-plus Chicagoland locations or order online at loumalnati's.com. And then one more for our texters.
Yeah,
so
I'll give away two more.
We just need one.
Okay.
The first answer. It's a lot. Because then they answer two questions.
Okay, so the first person who texts in with the show
Okay, with both right
show
answers.
Title?
You know what? With both right answers. Go ahead. We'll do both right answers. Give us both questions.
Two texters.
One texter has to get both right.
Oh, has to get both. Oh, okay.
Yes.
So the name the two shows that these two fictional presidents
yes.
appeared in. Okay. David Palmer is the first one, and Frank Underwood is the second.
To a texter, David Palmer and Frank Underwood.
Text us the name of those two shows that feature those two fictional presidents, and you'll get pizza.
Yes, a Lou Malnati's gift card. 312-981-7200 for the other Lou Malnati's card to our texters.
No Googling either. Honor system.
Oh, yeah, sure. That's not- that's very sweet.
Yeah, sure. Yeah,
kind.
I'm sure.
Now Craig has to read the screen and talk about Game of Thrones. Was someone burned?
So Craig,
was there a bloodletting? What happened?
In seriousness, Craig,
dragons?
Did you enjoy this week's episode?
Because I did. I really liked the Hound in this week's episode, which is interesting because the
too.
Hound at times has been a horrible
I'm gonna
human.
I'm going to eat cake while we talk.
Yeah.
These last couple of weeks, I've enjoyed the Hound.
Yeah. No, exactly.
Craig. I really liked his story with the villagers last week and, you know, sort of the beginning of a redemption arc for him.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that something that you, well, this is something that I won't put words in your mouth. This is something that I love about the show. I suspect you love it too. I love the show's ability to make us loathe someone and then bring us around to their point of view and help us understand them more deeply. Jaime Lannister being the prime example.
Exactly. That's right? Who I thought of immediately when you said that. And I agree so much about, and Jaime in this past episode was pretty wonderful.
Jaime, this whole season, this past episode definitely was a highlight, but this whole season, Tyrion used to be my favorite character. And I think I'm not alone in that sentiment, but Tyrion has been kind of a clunker this season. They haven't given him much to do, and I feel like Jaime's come to the fore. He's my favorite Lannister right now.
Wow. I still really love Tyrion. I don't know that he's been a complete clunker. I think it's been interesting to see him be in charge while Daenerys has been gone. And then what an entrance from Daenerys this week that I think will go really great for her.
Do you think she's going to be mad at Tyrion for messing up her city?
No, whatever. He tried to, broker peace, which is probably not the way she would do it. She's a little bit too strong for that. But, he tried to make peace happen and it didn't work out. And now she's going to use her dragons to kill everybody.
So. Well, and when she came back, didn't you want to see a dragon burning up some boats?
We saw the dragon flying in the background toward the boat. So I feel like we just slightly missed out on the burning and the boats.
They were
dragon.
Saving all our budget up for this.
I mean, Patty, let's
Esmeralda,
think about it.
This cake is so good.
Yeah. Let's think about it this way, though. Say there was a leader who everybody really liked, who all of her points were really great, and then she also had dragons. A leader with dragons that could stop bad people with said dragon.
There's flan, but it's not as good as
because if a leader didn't have dragons.
And no big cheesecake?
But even if it was a bad leader who had dragons, you would think, okay, this leader really can't be trusted with dragons. But in this case, she really can be.
She's the whole package.
Yeah, she seems to be the appropriate person to have dragons.
Yeah, I think it's pretty
dense. I'm pretty sure that if Daenerys got more dragons, everyone would be completely fine with that.
You ever seen those wobbly cheesecakes?
Yeah, those are always weird.
But really, she deserves to have 5, 6, 10 dragons.
A whole army of dragons.
That's pretty dense.
To beat all the White Walkers, it's going to take several dragons.
Sounds nice.
Now we're all just going to
stop.
Yeah,
were we pulled off the air?
No. Nope.
I think an engineer thought that there were two commercials running at the same time. Esmeralda and I talking about cheesecake while you're talking about.
Oh, yeah, that was just experimental radio.
I tried to ask you, Patty, if you really agreed with the leader, if you thought this leader was wonderful, and then we gave the leader dragons to kill all the bad people, you'd be happy with that, right?
I don't like dragons.
Why wouldn't you like dragons?
Really
what's wrong with dragons? They're so great.
Yeah, what do you
I just have never
dragons?
Been drawn to any stories with dragons in them. That's
is it? Is that the real issue? I know you've said mud before, but is it really
maybe
just
it's the
dragons?
Maybe it's the dragons.
They're so cool, though. They're so giant, and she flies on them. She gets on top of them now and flies. That's how she rides around.
Give me a Pegasus any day of the week at twice.
It's like
Sundays.
A giant Pegasus that breathes fire.
They should make a Game of Thrones style show with Pegasi.
It's the same thing. A dragon is the same
a
thing.
A horse and a
fire.
Flying dinosaur are not the same thing.
They're basically the same thing. It has wings, it flies, it breathes fire.
How about a horse man?
Ooh, a centaur?
You want to fly a horse man?
They got wings.
Uncomfortable.
No,
a
minotaur's
centaur with wings.
A centaur.
Just think if the centaur doesn't make good conversation. You'd be flying with him for hours.
They're just chatty.
The dragon doesn't, does it?
Right. It's like a bad taxi ride.
Wait, what's chatty? A centaur is too chatty?
They might be. You don't know if you Uber the wrong centaur.
That's the nice thing about a minotaur is at least he can't talk.
Exactly correct.
Yeah.
And a dragon can't talk, but it can breathe fire. When you tell it to.
How about the end of a few weeks ago at the end of the episode, how we got a close-up of those flame glands?
Oh, my God, that was great. That was so great. This is the best show in the history of shows.
I don't understand. Well,
it's a good show.
It's a really good show.
He really, really likes him some Game of Thrones,
I
doesn't
do.
He?
Really
I love
great.
It. I love the enthusiasm. See, this is why I do. This is why I do my job. I just love fandom. I love people who get really into worlds and who can bring out the ideas and sort of the things that inspire them. I never get tired of hearing.
Hey,
about
John,
that.
We're about to let you go, unfortunately. But can I ask you for a favor for next week?
Yes. Mm.
Can you and I come in Game of Thrones costumes?
You
I will
can.
Set you up.
Only
I will
if
set
you're
you
Daenerys.
Up. I'm going to be Daenerys. That's fine.
I do not see a John Tatey, editor-in-chief of the AV Club, as a cosplay.
I think he's going to John Snow it up next week. We're going to get him there.
John Snow. Okay.
Yep. We're going to get him there. Right now, you're not into it. I will email you every day. Eventually, you're going to like the
Okay. Okay. We'll figure it out.
Sweet.
Hey, Craig, during the commercial, I'm going to apply for a Foyd card.
Okay.
All right. John Tatey.
All right, I'm going to get out of here.
Follow him on Twitter at John Tatey, T-E-T-I, and we will have you back next week. Look forward to it. Follow everything he does as well on avclub.com. There's some really great pieces on everything that you like. Music, television, movies, comedy. It's all there.
Wow, thanks, Patty. We should hire you to pitch the site.
An A++. I'll give you some examples of why you're so good. More after this on 720 WGN.